fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
It's an Adam and Jamie show. We need theme music. We need like our own Adam and Jamie variety hour. Theme music, Jamie. Play it on the sax.
I think, anytime somebody suggests you could sing a song, especially if it's you suggesting your own to sing a song.
Yeah.
All for it.
Sure, I'll sing it. Why not? Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday, June 13th. Only 6 days until my birthday, in case you're wondering. Hope everybody has something big planned. We're going to be doing a draft. I think we're going to be doing a draft on the air, Jamie, next Monday, right?
What pick would you like, since it's your birthday?
What pick? Give me six.
All right, you're picking 12th, so it'll be Monday.
Thank you so much. What a generous man. Oh, Jeremy
Backlund! I'm picking
Backlund.
Six in the draft tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yes, this is the follow-up. It is for a magazine. I will not say the name of the magazine in case they would not like me to, but it is for a magazine draft that I did the first round of, where we did all the rookies.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I will not do the same strategy this time, because this one's for real.
So how many... Oh, so that was like the mock. This is the real...
It's like how we do our magazine, where we do one draft for the first edition, and then we do another draft for the second edition,
gotcha,
which we end up playing out.
Oh, you're playing this one
yes,
out. Okay, cool. We're going to talk about Jeremy Maclin. I'm going to give you some would-you-rather scenarios. You know, nothing weird or gross. They mostly
involve...
Is it
Jeremy Maclin or Breshad Perriman? Because I don't know Heath Cummings' take on it, which we'll talk about in a second, but I think we all like a different Ravens wide receiver of your three favorite analysts.
How could anybody not like Jeremy Maclin, the best of the group?
Well, there's a pizza-loving person.
How?
With a very striking goatee.
Okay, you know what? Before I even tease what's coming up on the show, let me just get like really excited about Jeremy Maclin, and it's going to be a little over the top, just so
me
people
too
can have some fun. But come on, this guy in 2014 was the number 9 wide receiver in fantasy. In 2015 with the Chiefs, he was a top 15 wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year he got hurt and didn't have a good year. Now he's going to a team that has led the NFL in pass attempts two straight seasons. Not the Saints, not the Patriots, not the Colts. The Ravens have led the NFL in pass attempts two straight seasons. And now Jeremy Maclin is going there. He is clearly the most accomplished receiver on the team. Like, not only is he, like, in my eyes, and I guess
in your eyes. Is he more accomplished than Mike Wallace?
Yes. Like, well, okay, accomplished. He's better. He's better. Okay, let's just
better. Yes. Yes.
Not only is he clearly the number one receiver on the Ravens, he's like, is he a top 20 wide receiver? This guy is an underrated football player.
I can't put him that high, which is a struggle because I kind of feel along the same lines you are. Right now, I have him at 42.
What?
But I could easily see myself putting him in the 30s. I don't know if I'll get much higher than that because you have to wonder, is he kind of done?
Why
being
would he be
that type of guy?
Well, okay, look, when he was number 9 in 2014, Maclin was number 1 in Chip Kelly's offense, which we always
liked. That
was
a contract year.
Yeah, that was a big year for him. But then 1,000 yards with Alex Smith, that was amazing. I don't know. I think
one game was with Nick Foles.
How many games? One.
I think one.
All right, well, so almost 1,000 with Alex Smith. yeah, I don't know. I think I'm excited for Jeremy Maclin. I guess I haven't really thought about it. I mean, we haven't drafted since he became a Raven, so maybe on Monday I won't be as excited. But
they have a good track record of turning older receivers into very quality players. They did it with Anquan Boldin. They did it with Steve Smith.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot to like.
He's
I was
29.
I was very surprised that Dave is still, and I don't want to speak for him, so he may have changed his mind since yesterday, but that he was still, as we discussed it, still on the Breshad Perriman bandwagon. Just to tell you, so I have Maclin 42, Wallace 47, and I dropped Perriman to 56. Dave has, in terms of Ravens, Perriman 48, Maclin 49, Wallace 55. Dave, Heath has not adjusted his ranking since the move because Heath is on vacation. And they don't have computers where he is. So he has not adjusted his rankings yet.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to take a look at the rankings, and let's just take a look at who number 30 is in Jamie's standard scoring wide receiver rankings. That would be Brandon Marshall. 29 would be Julian Edelman. I can't imagine taking Macklin over Edelman, but Brandon Marshall, Martavis Bryant, Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, I'm not saying I would rank him there, but this all seems very reasonable to me. Marshall, Martavis, Kelvin, Garcon, Sanders. You know, I would take him over Sanders. Yeah, I'm not really a big Sanders guy. So
no, I get it. Like I said, when I first did the rankings yesterday, he was 44, I think. And then I adjusted this morning to 42. There's a lot of guys I like. That's the problem.
So in like a week, he'll be in the 30s.
25.
All right, well, it's good. Does Joe Flacco come anywhere near your top 15?
No, but I bumped him up a couple spots. He was originally 24. I put him, I think, at 22.
Okay. Would you remember the sleeper conversation we had a couple weeks ago with Cody Kessler? Would you put Flacco ahead of whoever the starting quarterback for the Browns will be?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I made a pretty good case for Kessler as a good two quarterback sleeper.
Flacco as the leader in pass attempts for the last 2 years, or on the team that leads the NFL in passing attempts is good. Yes.
Pretty weird stat, right? I mean, I know they obviously want to run the ball better. I'm not going to predict the Ravens to lead the NFL in pass attempts for a third straight year, but pretty weird stat that they've done it two years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how you doing, Jamie?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Good. Dave is out for the week, right?
He's technically not out for the week. He is preoccupied with other things as he's trying to get all of his work done. So he said basically a big F you to Adam Azer, and I'm going to do other things first.
That's kind of like what he said about my wedding, too, you know.
Basically.
Not coming to that either. So no Dave, no Heath. So Jamie and I will be podcasting today and on Thursday. And we're going to do Who Would You Rather Have today. We're going to look at a lot of notes, a lot of news to catch you up on. Giovanni Bernard could miss a couple of regular season games. I wanted to give a cool stat about Golden Tate. John Ross could miss training camp, the Bengals wide receiver, as he recovers from shoulder surgery. A news item about Cameron Brate, some offensive line notes, and we should have plenty of time for your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And the outros are pouring in, Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
You have any ones that you really like yet? Or, like, is there a
I have one league that I'm going to read today.
Okay.
Save the suspense. But yeah, there are a few that are good. I think the thing that you guys need to get, not that the ones that have been submitted have been bad, but I think what I was looking for was, like, you could throw anything in there. It doesn't have to just be like versions of goodbye. So it doesn't have to be like somebody said beat it. Somebody said, I should do a version of the NSYNC song.
that would be funny.
It is funny, but I think you don't have to just, it could be anything. Like, you could, you'll hear the one I'm going to say today.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
You had to sing?
Yeah, yeah,
shocking.
Sing. Yeah.
So you could throw movie lines in there. You could, you know, there was a couple, not a couple. There was, I guess the big themes so far were, one, yes, Dave farted last week, and there were a lot of, outro jokes related to Dave farting. And two, as you would expect, quoting the famous Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Right. And I wanted to go with a hybrid, which would have been Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Farter.
That might be the winner. Acer wins.
Yeah, I'm in the podcast league. Good for me. So if you missed it, we're doing a podcast league contest. Jamie, somebody said Jamie's got to step up his
change it up, not step it up. Change it up.
All right. Change it up. His bye at the end. So we're asking for some suggestions, and Jamie's going to pick his favorite, and whoever wins is in the podcast league. And we're going to be reading some throughout the shows, I guess, during the off season. So here we go. Let's do some Would You Rather Have.
Oh, and the contest ends when we take our hiatus for Adam's wedding. Well, when Adam and I take our hiatus for Adam's wedding.
So that's in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Holy cow, by the way. Wow. I'm freaking out a little bit. Okay, so would you rather have...
You're freaking out. Imagine how she feels. She's going to marry you.
I guess, yeah.
You win in this regard, buddy.
What a trooper. Up at 1 a.m. watching the Yankees game with me last night. Good for her. So, I am using ADP from Fantasy Pros. Would you rather have Amari Cooper 24th overall or Michael Crabtree 50th overall?
That's a tough one. The genesis of the Azer strategy.
The friendship strategy.
I'm going to buy into Amari Cooper this year. You know how I feel generally about third-year wide receivers, and I think this is the season he takes the next step. So I think Cooper at 24 is better.
Okay, I don't disagree. Why, though? Because I just... Crabtree is kind of the Colts wide receiver that you
Dante
like.
Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief to... What's the matter with me? Dante Moncrief to T.Y. Hilton. Like, he's just a touchdown stealer. You still worried about that? Cooper only had 5 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, I think that the two areas where Cooper needs to win are targets, because it's a little bit different. Crabtree is the target leader over the last two seasons, yeah, which has been equally as frustrating. And then be more involved in the red zone, which could be a problem for both guys with the addition of Jared Cook. So I think we see maybe a little more of a swing of the pendulum in Cooper's direction. And I that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. So still a pretty good value, though, for Crabtree if he's going 50th overall.
Yes.
All right. Would you rather have Isaiah Crowell 36th overall, or 12 picks later, C.J. Anderson, 48th overall? Crowell, 36th, or C.J. Anderson, 48th?
I like the value for Anderson a lot, but I think there's a little bit, shockingly enough, of more positives for Isaiah Crowell this year. Improved offensive line, not as much competition. You could say questionable quarterbacks for both. Both are going to play in relatively tough divisions. So I think when you start to look at it, the injury situation for C.J. Anderson over the last couple of years swings things towards Crowell's direction because there's only 12 picks apart.
Okay, even with the 12 picks. And both guys did get an offensive line upgrade, which is good. As the Broncos signed Ronald Leary, they drafted Garrett Bowles in the first round. But yeah, C.J. Anderson, those damn injuries. Okay, so far you're going Cooper over Crabtree, 2 rounds apart, and Crowell 1 round ahead of C.J. Anderson. Would you rather have raisins or pineapple?
Ooh, pineapple. It's healthier for you. Better for your teeth.
Yeah. But if you... Okay, that aside, like, just what's better? What would you rather eat?
Pineapple.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, raisins are so good, but every argument I make about raisins really applies to pineapple. You can eat pineapple with anything.
Not with soup.
That's true, actually. And a lot of people do have raisins in their soup, it turns out. Got a lot of feedback on that.
Yep.
Love pineapple. Let me ask you this.
I went to the Dole Pineapple Factory in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah? That must have been so
good. It was awesome.
Oh, that must have been terrific. So, let me ask you this. I got a box of strawberries Sunday.
Okay.
I am growing up, and I decided to have a salad for dinner, and I put strawberries in the salad. And one of the strawberries was moldy, like quite moldy. Do you throw out the entire box?
You know, that happens quite a bit, you know, because you can't really see all the straw. Like, I'm a big fruit checker.
You're an inspector.
So, like, when I pick up peaches or peaches specifically, I guess. But, like, when I look at, like, a bag of oranges or a box of strawberries or a box of raspberries, for example, I will look at the entire, like, I'll search to see and make sure there's nothing there. But you can't catch them all. And so what I generally will do is, whatever strawberry that's, if there's a strawberry that's moldy that's touching one or two strawberries, I'll throw that trio out.
That's what I should have done. I threw the whole damn thing out. I really regret it now. Need to get more strawberries. Okay, would you rather have Jordan Reed, 39th overall, or Delanie Walker, 71st overall? Jordan Reed, 39th overall. Delanie Walker, 71st overall.
Generally, I would go with the value pick here, but I think Walker is going to continue to trend in the wrong direction, as we've seen each of the last 2 years. I just finished writing, which will come out on the 20th, I believe, my latest version of Bust, and Delanie Walker is a bust for me. We saw 2 years ago he was awesome. There was nobody else on the Titans to steal targets from him. He had 130 targets. Last year, just over 100 targets, and everything went down for him significantly except for his touchdowns. They went up by one. So I just see another downward trend with all the additions there. Jordan Reed lost players around him. So you can say Terrell Pryor will be an upgrade. You will say that Jamison Crowder could be better. Josh Doctson could be better. Jay Gruden said that the offense runs through Jordan Reed. So he is their guy. And I think if he's 13-plus games, you're getting a stud.
It's really annoying because, like, I just wish we weren't on the same page because I want to get into some disagreements here, but I think Delanie Walker is on my do not draft list.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see it. I'd rather wait on Hunter Henry or even a rookie. Just, now, especially now that they invested so much in wide receiver with the 5th overall pick in the draft.
I was looking at the it's funny that you're using Fantasy Pros because just to let people behind the curtain, our ADP at CBS Sports, not exactly the best in July. It is amazing in August, but in June. It is amazing in August, but not the greatest now. Now, Fantasy Pros takes into account several different sites that are already doing mock drafts and things of that nature that are a little bit ahead of us, how we do operate things here. And so I saw that he was, I believe, the sixth or seventh tight end off the board, if I'm not mistaken.
Walker, yeah, I think he's seven sounds right, yeah.
So I he's ahead of guys that I like better. Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry, Jack Doyle is another one. I think there was one more guy in there that I like better than him. And so, yeah, I'm with you. He's on my do not draft list.
Okay, that's Delanie Walker we're talking about, and I don't have where he is right now. It doesn't really matter. He is around seventh or so at tight end rankings. And okay, yeah, Jordan Reed at 39th overall is interesting. That's too early for me.
Yep.
Because I've never just if I'm not getting Gronk, I just seem to always wait on tight end.
Kelsey now? What if it was Kelsey at 39?
Yeah, I do Kelsey at 39. I'd at least start considering Kelsey at 39. In fact, last mock draft we did, I was going to take Kelsey pretty close to 39th, but I had taken Aaron Rodgers in the third round, and I didn't want to take quarterback, tight end, third round, and fourth round. I think that's what happened. Would you take Kelsey 39th?
Yes.
It's easier now without Macklin. But
his numbers were really good last year, the four games Macklin was out. And, you know, we could sit here and talk. I know we did the show last week when Macklin was released, but how much Tyreek Hill maybe benefits, maybe some of the secondary receivers in Kansas City. It's Travis Kelce. And actually, Dave and I were talking about this earlier today that I told Dave, if I'm the Chiefs, I don't know what the money would be and what their salary cap space is, but I would go after Eric Decker. I mean, what do you have to lose? You bring in a veteran receiver who can, you know, at least draw some coverage and help things out. You don't have to label him the number one guy. That could still be Tyreek Hill. But this receiving corps is terrible. Imagine if Tyreek Hill gets hurt.
Yeah, it's bad.
Chris Conley, Albert Wilson, DeMarcus Robinson. It's awful.
How are you feeling about Tyreek Hill, by the way? I don't think you weren't on the show when we talked.
I was.
No, you were not on the show when they cut Macklin.
Yes, I was.
You sure? I thought it was Dave and Heath.
Oh, no, maybe I wasn't.
Well, where do you have Hill?
I'm not really high on him. It's a better opportunity, clearly, but scoring 9 touchdowns is going to be tough. And I think he loses a little bit as a running back now, you know, his carries, however you want to label it, because of the addition of Kareem Hunt. You know, they needed him to be a spark in their backfield last year. I don't think they need that as much this year. And if they're going to take kickoff returns off his plate, that might be another thing that comes off his plate too, is, you know, he goes from, I think, 24 carries, let's say, to 15 or less. Mm-hmm. And so if he scores, let's say, 6 receiving touchdowns and that's it, I don't see him as a 1,200-yard receiver. I don't see him as, you know, maybe even a 1,000-yard receiver.
So are you going 800-900 range. Going Macklin or are you going Tyreek Hill?
Still Tyreek Hill, just because I think the ceiling is higher for him, but I could easily be swayed in that.
Okay.
I think where you started with Edelman, I believe I have Hill one spot higher.
Oh, okay. 28th. All right, well, how about next up?
Hill's 28 for me.
Would you rather have Martavis Bryant, 69th overall, or, I think this one's kind of easy, Rashard Matthews, 97th overall. Bryant.
It's easy. I'd go Bryant.
I love Bryant, 69th overall.
I'll let that sit for a second.
What? Come on. Don't be like that. Calling out flatulence, making dirty jokes. You're that guy now. I think that's very exciting value. What do you think for Martavis?
Good choice of words. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, anytime you can get a player of his caliber, the risk involved with him is, you know, another suspension. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster playing a role for them. But yeah, when he's been healthy and active, he's been great.
Yeah. All right, next up, would you rather have a rehearsal dinner speech or no rehearsal dinner speech?
Well, I'm giving a rehearsal dinner speech, so all on board.
I think my answer would be none. I think I don't want anyone to speak. I'm very nervous.
Mine's good.
Well, you're not making one, but I think it's because of you guys roasting me all the time. Like, I'm just afraid everyone's going to do that. Hopefully Nando won't speak.
Well, hey, are you opening the floor?
I think.
See, yeah. What we did for ours was we had some planned ones. So we know we had like 4 or 5 people that we allowed to speak. that we knew we were going to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, you know, if anybody else wants to make a toast. So we had a few.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. I'm a very, very popular person. And she is, yes, or whatever. next up, would you rather have Russell Wilson, 72nd overall, or Jameis Winston, 94th? Russell Wilson, two rounds earlier than Jameis Winston. What do you think?
Yeah, I would take Winston here. I think, you know, I hope Wilson can get back to the level we saw prior to last year. I think that'll be the case. You know, he played through a couple of leg injuries last year. The offensive line, I don't think, will be as bad. I hope Tyler Lockett's back, so he has really three legitimate weapons, you know, with Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham being the top two guys. And I think C.J. Procise can be a better player in his second year as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So Wilson will be fine, but, I mean, you know what Winston got this offseason. He got DeSean Jackson. He got O.J. Howard. Chris Godwin could be a player for them. Their running back situation is a little bit dicey with Doug Martin's suspension. So I think the sky's the limit for Jameis. Two straight 4,000-yard seasons. I think he'll be better this year. So I would take the value there easily.
All right. So maybe I'll disagree here a little bit because Wilson, like, he was bad last year, but he was hurt all season. I think he was the 14th best quarterback in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. The previous three seasons, Russell Wilson was 8th, 5th, and 3rd. So, I don't know. Like, he was being valued as a top five quarterback last year, and again, like, he just played the entire season hurt. So why shouldn't he be valued right behind the Breeze, Luck, Ryan group?
I mean, that's where I have him ranked. I think he will be better than him, but when you're factoring the value of these two guys,
two rounds,
the value
is enough.
Speaks to Winston being the better pick.
All right.
Because if Winston takes that next step, like, I know Dave is excited about him. I am. I think he's in a similar range. You know, they're looking at opening up the offense and giving him, you know, the reign to, you know, utilize these guys. It's the same thing like with Mariota. You know, you're surrounding these young up and coming quarterbacks with weapons, and let's see what they can do. And in Winston's case, you know, he already has a good floor. If the floor is what we've seen the first 2 years.
Yeah, I was listening to some old podcasts last night, actually, from preseason, from like August.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask why. And one of the things that I had brought up was this crazy quarterback stat about the number 12 quarterback in fantasy each of the last 5 years entering 2016. And five straight years, it either remained the same or it went up, the fantasy points scored by the number 12 quarterback in fantasy, which, yeah, you could just say, well, it's a passing league, blah, blah, blah. But it went up so much in a five-year span. And there really wasn't that much difference, like, number one, number two. Those guys were, other than Peyton Manning's big year, you know, like kind of in the same range. But number 12, like, kept getting higher. And basically what I interpreted it as was this new field of quarterback where you're either going early and taking one of the absolute studs, or you're going late, waiting till like round 9 or so. But the middle round quarterbacks don't necessarily separate themselves enough from the late round quarterbacks. That doesn't really make sense to take them. In this case, that would be like a Russell Wilson. Now, if you identify one that you think has a chance to be like, you know, that surprise number one, number two quarterback, that's another story. But I guess like a Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I actually, during this same type of rant, I used the argument of an Eli Manning, who I thought would be, you know, like 10th, like safe. Those guys don't really make sense based on what we've seen at quarterback. What makes sense is either investing a lot in the studs or just waiting for the Jameis Winstons, the Mariotas, those kind of guys. That's kind of how I interpreted it. And then last year happened, and last year was like a terrible year for quarterbacks, and the number 12 quarterback was much worse than what we had seen in recent seasons.
Well, I think the hope is that if you pass on the studs, and I think, you know, what also should probably be taken into consideration here when everybody's healthy is the group of studs is getting a little bit bigger too. You know, it's gone from one or two guys to, now we're talking, you know, four or five. If Matt Ryan can repeat what he did a year ago and Breeze and stays on that level and Andrew Luck stays healthy. It's finding the guys like Matt Ryan from a year ago, Kirk Cousins from a year ago, Cam from 2 years ago. You know, the guys that are kind of written off. Russell Wilson may be written off in some cases. I think one guy that's going to get written off a lot just because of his recent track record is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, who's going to get passed over a lot. And if he plays 16 games, especially with the way their back end of their schedule sets up, a lot of home games, and certainly we know what he does when he's in that building. Phillip Rivers is another one that's always written off. And he, you know, last year he was consistent. You know, we talked about it for the last couple of years that he's been tailing off. He didn't really do that last year. So it'll be somebody from the younger, you know, group of guys that I think maybe takes that next leap from Mariota, from Winston, you know, into that next tier, maybe Prescott as well. And then which of the older guys, Eli is in that conversation also, takes that, you know, yeah, has that rebound type of season.
Well, like Eli's, you know, Eli's good value this year, whereas I just made the case that he wasn't last year. But now he could easily get back into that, you know, eighth best quarterback mix.
Oh, yeah. I think you have a few guys, you know, taking it past Roethlisberger and Rivers, who are potential starters that I think are going to be drafted that way. You have Eli. You have Carson Palmer, who was a top five guy going into last year, had the bad season, but really closed strong. Mm-hmm. You know, he can get back.
Had a great schedule.
That level.
Great early schedule for Carson Palmer.
Yeah. And then, you know, we talked about a little bit before Joe Flacco. You know, I mean, if the touchdowns go up a little bit, he'll be in that discussion. I was on the Fantasy Pros, since we're talking about their ADP. I was on their podcast and they judge things on a 4 point per passing touchdown. But Mike Taglieri, one of their analysts there, was questioning my ranking of Tyrod Taylor, who I have at 21. But in a 4 point for passing touchdown, his value is higher because he led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year. He's a very prominent rushing quarterback.
People then, love Tyrod Taylor, don't they?
There's a lot of people. You know, it's funny. Like when you start talking to other fantasy analysts, like I'm going to do a draft tonight with 11 other fantasy analysts, and I'm going to be shocked by some of the picks that go. You know, like they asked me why I have Stephon Diggs so low. The fantasy community in terms of analysts, they love Stephon Diggs. I can't wrap my head around it. You know, Dave is very anti Stephon Diggs. I think I'm kind of a little bit in between, but they just love the potential upside. You know, we've seen flashes for 2 years. Tyrod Taylor, you know, we've seen some flashes, and my argument is if Sammy Watkins goes down in a 6 point per passing touchdown league, his value tanks. You know, but Stafford's another one. You know, just to wrap up this quarterback discussion, Stafford's another guy that is going to get overlooked on draft day. We hyped him up a little bit last year because of the Marvin Jones addition, but addition. What did I say? Addition? Addition.
The addition, yeah. E-D-I-T-I-O.
Of Matthew Stafford, for Matthew Stafford. And so he could be a guy that slips through the cracks a little bit and has a big season. Same with Andy Dalton. I mean, look at everything that they did with Dalton this offseason, too.
Sure. All right. Well, that's a conversation for another day, for sure. Actually, I think we just kind of had it. Finally, would you rather have Little Mermaid or Aladdin?
Probably Aladdin.
No. Don't be afraid to say it's Little Mermaid.
Well, I think you know me enough by now that I would say it if I felt it. But
no, you would let me. Remember, that was like one of the first inside jokes on the show, is that my favorite Disney musical was, or Disney movie was, Little Mermaid. And I went to a musical. I went to Book of Mormon.
Yes, how was it?
Look how cultured I am. It was awesome. It's incredible.
Did your lovely fiance enjoy it?
Oh yeah, she loved it. And you know what I think? Like looking around the audience. And who, you know, the kind of people who were there. Typical Broadway show, I would guess, is my first one, so what do I know? I feel like I could show those people an episode of South Park, and they wouldn't laugh at it on principle, because they think it's dumb. But they'd be not laughing at the same humor that they just cracked up in. Because, like, South Park is so much better than just, you know, what some people might think it is. Just kind of immature humor. It's not that at all. And if you like Book of Mormon.
So you just compared Book of Mormon to South Park.
Well, of course, it's written by the same people.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's the Matt and Trey musical.
Oh, cool.
And it's very South Parkian, as I talked about this on the Fantasy Baseball podcast.
Well, then you should compare it to South Park.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, South Park, yeah, they do like a lot of really, like, gross stuff, but it's very fun. I don't watch it anymore, but it.
I haven't seen South Park probably since, like, the second season.
It's evolved a lot since then. It's become a very smart, satirical show.
I'm sure it is. It was funny then.
That was great then. Okay, but if you go back and you watch season 1 and 2, it's probably not that funny anymore. You know how it is. News and notes, and we'll read some emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I really hate news and notes, Jamie, so let's go through some important stuff. Let's go through some of this fairly quickly. No throwing until training camp for Andrew Luck. And you did a Twitter poll, Drew Brees or Andrew Luck. I voted for Drew Brees. What did people say? What was their choice?
Oh, that one is mostly Drew Brees. I'm pulling up right now. I'm sorry. I did this because Dave and I are doing a video for our rankings today, and these are the three topics we're debating. Okay. So Dave has Brees. Dave and Heath both have Brees ahead of Luck. That one is the biggest difference. Brees at 59%, Luck at 41%. Yeah, I'll tell you my concern about Brees. It's small because I have Brees fourth. I have Luck third. They're very close in my top 200 as well. The Saints, everything they did this offseason was to take pressure off of Drew Brees. They get rid of his number one receiver, arguably, in Brandon Cooks, one of his top two guys. They bring in a running back of Adrian Peterson's caliber. They draft another running back in Alvin Kamara. They get better defensively, so hopefully they're not going to be chasing points as much. I just think Brees might have a little bit of a downturn, slightly enough. Now, the argument against Luck is clear. His shoulder situation is troubling, but you know, I think he'll be fine, and as long as that's the case, he'll stay in my third spot.
Yeah, and Jim Irsay, the owner of the team, said that the shoulder surgery was a good thing for Andrew Luck, that he's healthier, you know, he'll be back, he'll be healthier, and we certainly hope so. Okay, running back news. Giovanni Bernard could miss a couple of regular season games as he recovers from a torn ACL. That's according to Bengals.com, and that can't be bad news for Joe Mixon, right?
No, I'd be disappointed at this point if Mixon's not the starter come week one in some capacity. You know, I just take it back. If he's not the guy that leads Lamb in touches come week one.
Okay. Right. Doesn't really matter who starts. Eddie Lacy made his weight goal and got a $55,000 incentive bonus. He had an ankle surgery last season. He's obviously, you know, a little heavy, but he's getting down there in pounds. I know a little bit about a weight goal with the wedding coming up. I'm doing pretty well, Jamie.
You need to gain weight. What are you talking about?
Not if I'm going to fit into my tux.
Yeah, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. You know, hopefully he continues to meet his goals, and I think he'll be a big bounce back candidate. No pun intended.
Big bounce back candidate. Le'Veon Bell's going to skip minicamp, according to NFL.com. They put the franchise tag on Bell, $12 million if they don't work out a long-term deal by mid-July. Washington's going to use a hot hand approach at running back. What's your take on that?
Makes sense to start the season. Rob Kelly, like we talked about on a previous show, has done everything he needs to do to get in shape, and hopefully that is good for him. But I still think Samaje Perine is more talented. You would probably know this better than me, especially your history of college football, but the track record of running backs from Oklahoma seems to be pretty good, as far as I can tell.
Well, Peterson.
Murray.
Yeah, I can't really think of that many, but... Yeah, but they're going to have two good ones this year, Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine.
Right, and Perine was statistically the better of the two because he played more over the course of his college career. But, you know, I think it just makes these guys, you know, we've talked about a little bit of a strategy with them. If you can get them in back-to-back rounds, it's not a bad move, and then just see which is the better of the two as the season unfolds. And don't rule out Chris Thompson playing a lot on passing downs.
Okay. Wonderful. And we've got more running back news. Philadelphia rookie running back Donnell Pumphrey. Could he be in line for a big role, Donnell Pumphrey of the Eagles?
I think he's more of a backup to Darren Sproles. So however that unfolds with Sproles.
Hey.
But LeGarrette Blount, you know, there was a report from, I believe it's the Philly Voice, that they're trying to get him involved in the passing game a little bit more. That'd be a big surprise. Again, no pun intended.
I LOL'd at that.
You did when I sent you that note. I think Pumphrey is a year away from being relevant for the Eagles and for fantasy owners, if in fact he's going to be relevant for fantasy owners.
All right, it's Donnell Pumphrey, so dynasty, I guess. And no team drills for Jamaal Charles right now, and that's it. That will conclude our running back news. So we go to the wide receivers. Eric Decker was cut by the Jets. We're waiting to see where he signs, which will be wonderful because then we can react on the fantasy show. We need content. This was a cool stat I saw from Pro Football. I guess it's Pro Football Focus, right? Mm-hmm. They're the statty ones, not reference. Golden Tate, he leads all wide receivers in missed tackles forced over the last 3 years with 73. Golden Tate has forced 73 missed tackles in the last three seasons. Number two on the list is Jarvis Landry with 59. Golden Tate has 14 more than number two, Jarvis Landry. Then it's Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, and Julian Edelman. And that's a pretty awesome stat for perhaps an underrated fantasy wide receiver, Golden Tate, who was, I think, 19th in standard, 17th in PPR, something like that last year.
I think the interesting thing to note is that a lot of those guys, for the most part, really outside of Beckham, play on the inside. And so they're going to be around guys that are missing them.
Oh, like linebackers, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, Golden Tate... All right. Golden Tate or Edelman? Who do you have?
Oh, Golden Tate.
Golden Tate or Cooks?
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate or Watkins?
Watkins. But that's injury related, clearly.
All righty. Devontae Parker having a good offseason. Stop me if you've heard that one before. But yes. I want to buy into it this time.
I do too. He's on. He's in my sleepers column. He's featured heavily in the third year receivers column. He's. He keeps. You know, this is another reason why it's hard to move Macklin up, because I want to move Parker up too. But it's one thing though, and you know, we kind of have gotten away from this exercise about doing projections, but Parker should have a better season, maybe a potential big year. Jarvis Landry, I think, will still have a very good season. I think Julius Thomas can score 8+ touchdowns. Kenny Stills is probably going to still score 5+ touchdowns.
Wait, how many for Julius Thomas?
8.
That's a lot of touchdowns. That's assuming health. He's very bad. He's very injured.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's just say 6. 6 for him, 5 for Thomas. Or sorry, 6 for Thomas, 5 for Stills. Let's say 6 for both. So there's 12. Parker, if he has a big season, he's got to be, what, 7?
Yeah, I guess
so.
So
there you're up to 19. Landry's 5.
I suppose he could have, like, 6, yeah. Landry's 5.
Landry's 5 or 6.
Couple for the running, few for the running backs.
You know, random tight end, random receiver.
So now you're talking like a 28 to 30 touchdown season for Tannehill?
Right. If everything falls in line.
This exercise is actually making me wonder just how big of a season Devontae Parker could have. Like, maybe not so big, because there are so many guys there. But, like, still...
I think Stills falls off.
Still enough to return good value. Yeah, you know, it's kind of silly to speculate on this stuff. It's not silly. It's just, it's hard to do. The early Redskins wide receiver depth chart looks like this. Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder as starters. Josh Doctson as the number 3 wide receiver.
Yeah, he's competing with Ryan Grant for that third role. He'll be the third guy. I think they're just working him back up to speed after missing most of his rookie season with the Achilles injury. But I think Jamison Crowder is going to surprise a lot of people. You know, he's coming off a season where he had 98 targets. So he'll be probably 115 plus, you know, now with the new role. There's 200 plus targets to replace. I know Terrell Pryor projects as the better of the two. I get that. He should, just based on, you know, where he performed last year without any good quarterback play. So he's got maybe the higher ceiling, but Crowder could easily be a top 24 guy. This is another receiver that I have ranked ahead of Edelman of where we started from. Oh. So I think Crowder is a top 28 receiver.
So I guess I don't have to ask Crowder or Macklin.
Yeah, I'm team Crowder there.
All right. I think I'm... No, I don't know. I just want to say return of the Macklin. But yeah, I don't know. John Ross could miss the start of training camp as he recovers from shoulder surgery. Ross missed OTAs due to his school schedule, so Bengals first-round pick, he's going to be a little behind, which is a shame. Tampa Bay wide receiver Chris Godwin has worked exclusively on the outside, which is not a good thing because they have 2 outside receivers. But, you know, there's a little hype, a little buzz around Chris Godwin.
Could be grooming him to take over for Jackson when DeSean Jackson's done there.
Tyreek Hill will not return kickoffs this season, but he still will return punts, right?
That's what the early word is, yes.
All right. T.Y. Hilton has a hamstring injury. Sammy Watkins participated in some team drills. Jordan Matthews has a knee injury. Whatevs. Tight ends. Oh, Odell Beckham's reporting. Good for him. Cameron Brate could begin the season as the starting tight end over O.J. Howard, according to Pewter Report. Sorry. I'm a little goofy today. I did a podcast at 8 a.m. today. I've just been way off since that's very early, earliest we've ever done a show.
With baseball?
Yeah. It was weird. And what do you think about that? Cameron Brate, number 1, not a surprise, right?
No, I think we're going to see a lot of 2 tight end sets, which doesn't help Chris Godwin or, you know, his potential. But Jameis loves his tight ends, his touchdown production to Brate. To his other guys that he's used over the first 2 seasons has been very high.
Michael Rivera for Jacksonville is running with the first team, and the Jets are loving Austin Seferian Jenkins right now.
Well, let's see. Their receiving core consists of Quincy Enunwa, Robbie Anderson, a couple rookies.
See, in football, in baseball, we call this a post-hype sleeper, Austin Seferian Jenkins.
He could be, but it's 3 years removed from being a post-hype sleeper.
Yeah, and no, in football, we just call him a waiver wire fodder. and other news, Detroit left tackle Taylor Decker will be out 4 to 6 months with a torn labrum. We have the timetable now, and their schedule stinks early. Arizona, at the Giants, Atlanta, at Minnesota, Carolina. and then at New Orleans, and then a bye. But first five games may be kind of tough. Arizona at the Giants, Atlanta at Minnesota, and Carolina for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, now Jim Caldwell said that he expects Decker to not miss the entire season. If it's on the 6-month end, he's going to be struggling, but hopefully he's back sooner than later.
Houston left tackle Dwayne Brown expected to miss minicamp. That's according to the Houston Chronicle, and that's because of his contract. And Aaron Donald is going to skip minicamp, according to NFL.com, another contract thing. And nobody's going to care about this but me, but Giants left tackle Eric Flowers is slimmed down. He's in better shape, and they're not ready to just call him a bust yet. He's had two pretty disappointing seasons, but there is some hope that Flowers, who was very young when he got drafted in the first round, could develop pretty nicely in his third year. And that would really make a big difference for fantasy. So let's hope.
Laremy Tunsil's also dealing with a hamstring injury, so hopefully he's okay, because that Dolphins offensive line needs him healthy.
Should we do that? Do you expect week one? Do you expect Laremy Tunsil?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Time for emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Lloyd in a town in Connecticut. Stamford. Oh, we always do that. What's the one that I have been to where there was a concert?
Which one did you say?
I said Stamford.
Oh. Bristol?
I mean, I've never been to Bristol, but... I can't remember. Oh, Danbury. Yeah, he's from Danbury.
Hartford?
I just said Danbury. Dear Newton, Bell, Dalton, and Heisenberg. It's kind of funny. These are scientists. Newton, Bell, Dalton, and Heisenberg. Yeah, it's good. When deciding on a keeper, what is a better strategy? Keep the player with the best value or keep the best player? So he has to decide in a PPR league, Tom Brady in the 6th round or Tyreek Hill in the 16th round. Do you keep the best player, Brady, or Tyreek Hill in the 16th? You can also keep Matt Ryan in the 13th, for what that's worth.
Wow. I probably would take a chance on Hill.
Hill in the 16th?
If he hits, that's such a win.
Yeah. The thing is, I only do one keeper league a year, and it's a dynasty league. But you do a lot of keeper leagues. You probably always keep at least one stud, regardless of draft value, right? That's kind of the point of keepers.
If you're only keeping one player?
No, let's say you're keeping like two or three. One of them is going to be a stud, probably.
You would hope so. Like, I have the keeper league I run. I thought I was in great shape last year with keeping Allen Robinson in the 6th round, and he clearly was not great. So now I have to make a decision on keeping him what essentially will be a 4th round pick. Ooh. But I have Melvin Gordon in the 3rd round, which is great.
Yeah.
So, it helps.
That's good. All right, this is from George from somewhere in Northern California. No Dave today, so, Stamford. Dear Chris, Vin, Zoe, and Bradley. Comic book theme here, Jamie. Nah, you're not going to get it. Chris, Vin, Zoe, and Bradley, the lead casts of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes, Bradley Cooper.
If you had the opportunity to assemble the best 4 possible players in rounds 1 through 4, who would they be?
So based on like what their expected average draft position would
be? Yeah, like it's kind of how I interpreted it.
Wow, so I would probably say, to be realistic, I'd probably go Zeke at 3, Gronk in round 2. Lamar Miller round 3.
That's what I would hope for. But then, you got Mixon, you got McCaffrey, you got guys like that. But I would like Lamar Miller in round 3.
He's in that spot.
But now we have no wide receivers.
Maybe Pryor?
Pryor? At the
Watkins?
Yeah. You do kind of run out of a tier of wide receiver. Maybe we should have taken a wide receiver in the 1st round.
Well, I was thinking like in the 1st round. So let's say you do it 6 because you said that'd be your position. So let's say your birthday is next Monday. You picking 6, you take Odell Beckham at 6. Round 2, which is, I have this draft tonight. So I have 6. Round 2, it's a PPR league. So I'm probably hoping for, you're not going to get Michael Thomas.
Middle of round 2?
Mm-hmm.
You might. But if you don't get him, you could get Ajayi or maybe Devontae Freeman, something like that.
Could be Jordan Howard in a PPR league.
Yeah, probably not Freeman in PPR. Oh yeah, no, PPR, right. You're not gonna get Michael Thomas. But I think you get a good running back there.
So say it's Beckham 1, Howard 2. You still get Lamar Miller in 3 there.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll take Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
I like it. Or we'll take, in a PPR league, maybe we'll take Aaron Rodgers there if nobody's taking quarterbacks.
So I was thinking about this because I think about weird things. If you had to pick a quarterback, you're going – I was thinking about this because I was playing some music for my five-year-old and the Space Jam soundtrack popped up.
On your sax or just like playing it?
No, the actual soundtrack, okay. Not me. So if you had to take a football team of all-stars to win a game against aliens from another planet, one game,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Brady. Did you see the picture of Bill Belichick and all the rings on his fingers?
You see the picture of Brady with all the rings on his fingers?
No, I didn't. I saw the Belichick one.
So you take Brady. I would go Brady too, but it's not a slam dunk because what if now that he's older, he stinks?
Well, is it okay? So like we haven't seen them play yet this year,
right? Like we get invaded by aliens. Alien. What was the last movie? Independence Day Resurrection.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that.
So it was terrible. So we get invaded, and they want to play us in a football game.
Yeah, Brady. Brady's my guy.
It's hard to go against him.
How can you? I mean, like, I'll let Rodgers start, and then the aliens are going to be really good, and we're going to be down 28-3. Is that what the score was?
Yep. But
then I'm putting Brady in.
What if Rodgers had Brady's team around him?
I don't think Brady had a better team than Rodgers necessarily, not a better offense.
He had a better defense.
He did, but still, I mean, that was...
He had a better running game.
He had a better running game? Yeah, he did. No, I'm sorry. The answer is Tom Brady. Well, who else, though? All right, Brady.
Well, you're taking Bell and David Johnson. That's easy.
Yeah.
They're so multidimensional. The receivers are easy. You're taking the top three guys.
You can only
Brown,
take two.
Julio.
You can only take two. Only two.
Oh, the Brown and Julio.
Yeah, Brown and Julio.
You're taking Gronk.
Yeah.
Offensive line is, you know, somewhat easy. You're taking the three guys from Dallas and two other guys.
How about a J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald?
Oh, I thought of my top three guys at that spot would be Sue, Donald, and J.J. Watt.
Sue? Okay.
Rotation. Yeah. And then
I would just take edge rushers.
Huh?
Yeah, we need some pass rushers. We need Von Miller.
I would take Von Miller and Khalil Mack. Make them defensive ends.
Okay. Actually, so we have five defensive linemen here against the Monstars. All right, as long as you put Landon Collins on there, I'll watch the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'll watch the game. That should be fun. More emails. This is from Tim Reese in Kearney, New England. Or Kearney, Nebraska, more likely. keep one, Edelman in the fourth round or Spencer Ware in the eighth? Or Willie Snead in the eighth? So Edelman in the fourth, Ware in the eighth, Snead in the eighth.
It's definitely not Edelman the fourth, because I have Snead ranked ahead of him now, so I'll take that value. If you tell me Spencer Ware is the guy come training camp, then I'll buy in and I'll take Ware. But right now, asking me today, I think Kareem Hunt's going to push Spencer Ware. I'm taking Willie Snead, eighth-round pick.
Yeah, let me just say, if you told me that Ware is the guy come training camp, I still think a big part of me would be like, yeah, but who's going to be the guy in week five?
Well, I don't mean like there's still a question. Like, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, we know he's the guy.
I just don't trust him to keep it. I think he's so pedestrian. But, yeah. Okay, because you would anticipate Spencer Ware entering training camp as the number one guy.
I didn't mean, like, he's number one on the depth chart. I mean, like, he, you
well,
know.
What did you mean,
season.
Jamie? No, I'm just kidding. All right. My bad. Next up, we have Josh. Dear some combination of Jim, Michael, Dwight, and Creed.
Is that The Office?
That's The Office. Coming from the Did Dave Fart segment that made me laugh pretty hard, Jamie should just fart into the mic as Adam attempts his outro, or just try to impersonate and copy whoever's outro comes before you. All right. I don't think you should fart in the mic. That would be pretty gross.
No. The best was when I said, is Dave making a face? He was making like this so like guilty face.
I feel bad for Dave, but... I guess not really. I'm the commissioner of a league where we attempted to do a keeper league starting last year. And mm-hmm. we've mostly been together for 6 years now. And because of the way some people's teams turned out last year, I had a few threaten to quit because of the keeper rule. Also, a lot of ruckus around the keeper format. I laid out the rule that you receive a draft pick penalty based on when that player was drafted last year rather than no penalty. So that's pretty standard. Should I even attempt to do a keeper league again? People are revolting, Jamie. They want to quit because they don't like the keeper stuff.
I would say twofold. One, actually test them, see if they're really willing to quit, because people get upset and angry after they lose a season, and then they calm down a little bit as it gets closer to football season, and they're like, well, I really want to play in your league again because it's the only league I play in, or I really like the league, or I want to try and beat you at your own game. And the other thing would be is let the people who are threatening to quit give you some suggestions on how to potentially change the keeper rule. So it could be, you know, you keep a guy for multiple years. Maybe you keep a guy for the value changes two picks up, you know, changes, yeah. You know, increases by two picks, something like that. So it forces people that are getting lucky with Odell Beckham in round 10 3 years ago that now have him in round 10 forever.
Right. And the Jordan Howard owner might have him for a 15th round pick, whatever you put as a free agent or whatever it is. And I get that. You don't want to be at a disadvantage to the same owner. So I don't know. What about this? What about your keeper has to be in the first six rounds, first eight rounds?
I mean, there's a number of ways you could tweak it.
Yeah. All right. This doesn't have to end in disaster here. We can work this out, people. Kyle from Connecticut. Dear Chuck, Bruce, Steven, and John.
I would say martial arts guys.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be. Who's your favorite? Chuck Norris, Bruce Lee, Steven Seagal, or Gene Segura? Unless that's probably Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah. Of those four, I mean, is there anything Chuck Norris can't do?
I never was really, no, not really, not according to all the slogans, but I was never really a Chuck Norris guy.
I mean, Bruce Lee would kick the crap out of all three of these guys.
He would. I also have never seen a Bruce Lee movie, so it's not fair. But for me, Van Damme.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just like when he does a split, right?
I suggested to my league mates that a FAB system would make the waiver wire much more competitive as opposed to what we have now, which is standard waivers. It's a 10-team keeper league. I brought it up individually to everyone in the league, and it's pretty much a 50-50 split with the commissioner kind of on the fence. My question is, what can I say to convince these guys, these set in their ways, I'm not going to say that word, guys, that FAB is better than standard?
Show them how it works.
This, what you say is, hey, it's week 10 and you're 8-2 and your running back just got hurt and the handcuff is out there on waivers and the 3-5, what did I say, 8-2? The 3-7 team is going to get him just because he's got a terrible record. That's not fair. You shouldn't do waivers like that. That's antiquated. FAB is the way to go. I firmly believe that, by the way. FAB is by far the best way to do waivers.
Yeah, I'm in a baseball league. Dave and I share a team. That's very frustrating because we've been sitting on the one waiver spot because it's tended to be beneficial come trade deadline, but we were forced to make moves.
Right. Jamie's in an AL-only league, and what happens in those leagues is the pool players is only American League, and when somebody from the National League gets traded to the American League, like if maybe Johnny Cueto gets traded, he will instantly become the by far best player on waivers. So they are sitting there waiting another month and a half for the trade deadline.
No, we moved.
Oh, you did? You picked up Faria?
We picked up Faria, and then I picked up Torres, the Yankees prospect, because it's a keeper league.
Oh, good for you.
And I picked up Zach Britton was on waiver, so he's on our deal.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Good job. Use FAB, though. From Joseph, dear Roger, Dave, Rick, and Nick, parentheses, Adam's favorite band. I'm going to guess that's The Who. Yeah, I'm guessing. Man, I hate The Who. PPR Keeper League. I'm already keeping Freeman. Oh, it's Pink Floyd. Yeah, I hate them even more than The Who. Thank you. That's what I meant. I meant Pink Floyd. 1 point PPR Keeper League. Already keeping Freeman and Winston. Choose one of the following. Hunter Henry in round 16. Ty Montgomery, round 16. James White, round 16. Kelvin Benjamin, round 13. So you've got Benjamin in round 13 or Hunter Henry, Ty Montgomery, or James White in round 16.
I'm going to rule out the last two guys of White and Benjamin, and I think it's worth debating Henry and Montgomery, because if Montgomery is a starter for the Packers and keeps the job all season, that would be tremendous. But if Hunter Henry is as legit as he could potentially be, it's hard to pass that up.
Yeah. So what's it going to be?
If I had to decide right now, I would take Hunter Henry, because I don't think Ty Montgomery is going to hold on to the job all season. Everything they did this offseason speaks to them making it a timeshare or him being replaced. And I think Hunter Henry is heading in the right direction, trending in the right direction.
All right, I just want to say something to support me a little bit here. There's a Roger in The Who and Pink Floyd. Roger Daltrey is, of course, in The Who. I'd be questioning my sanity there for a little bit. This is from Kyle. So this is an interesting one. Remember we talked about points per completion leagues and saying you should draft quarterbacks early.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave wasn't quite so sure. So Kyle says, the debate about quarterbacks in points per completion league or point per completion leagues, I wanted to chime in. I've been playing in a league like this for about 8 years. I have to side with Dave. I've won the league the last 4 years, never taking a quarterback before round 10. While players like Breeze and Rodgers get a boost, it's not as big a difference as you might think. While everyone else is taking a quarterback early, you stack your team with studs and you still get a solid starter late due to quarterback depth. However, the rest of the league started catching on last year and the first quarterback went off the board in round 4.
I mean, that's certainly an accurate statement. It all depends on how your league is going to draft and how your league is going to, you know, play itself out. I would also like to know from Kyle, because I think it's important, the league of this scoring system, the size of the league. Because if it's a 12-team league or larger, it's a little harder to do that. If it's a 10-team league or smaller, it's easier to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. But this was interesting, because I really thought it made way too much sense to take a guy like Drew Brees early in a point-per-completion league.
But it goes back to the conversation we had before. If you end up with Matt Ryan late a year ago, your team's amazing.
Yeah. Now, if you're in a point per completion league that's also PPR, then that would change things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really a matter of what percentage of your total score is the quarterback comprising, which is why quarterbacks are less valuable in PPR than they are in standard. So, yeah, I guess we need a little bit more detail, Kyle, if you wouldn't mind. Please reply. And that's going to do it for today's show. We're back on Thursday, Jamie.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Thank you. All right, everybody, get excited. It's time for an outro. For Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you on Thursday. This has been Fantasy Football Today.
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.